I'm Sean Garrett, the grandson of George Garrett, one of the founder members of the Unity Theatre.
My name is Mike Morris. I'm co-director of Writing on the Wall and one of the founders of the George Garrett Archive Project, along with Sean and some other members.
Okay. So George was a founder member of the Left Theatre. Can you tell me a bit about his involvement?
Yeah, so George's involvement in the Merseyside Left Theatre came about, I think, for a number of reasons. One was he was a radical, he was a socialist, he was a social activist with a very, very long history in Liverpool, dating back around the 1919-2021 period onwards, really. And he had a very interesting and unique experience as a writer, as a seaman. He was a stoker on the ships. And his experience in America, where he encountered, first off, the International Workers of the World, or the Wobblies as they were known, who were a radical syndicalist movement that combined radical activity with art activism, and with the new theatre of Eugene O'Neill that was revolutionising theatre. When he came back to Liverpool, he applied this in many different ways. The Hunger March would be a great example, where he creates a whole theatrical piece on the Hunger March to protest at them being served bully beef in one of the workhouses that they stopped in. So when the Merseyside Left Theatre developed, I think it was Jerry Dawson who founded it, it was a really natural home for George Garrett. He'd spent, in effect, that decade, up until the late 30s, on the parish, as it was called then, on the Dole. He'd written short stories that had ended up in the major literary magazines of the day, alongside the likes of Stephen Spender, George Orwell, etc., and George Orwell actually came to meet him in 1936. So he had a very high prominence. He was always looking for an outlet, and I think he understood how theatre could engage people on social issues. So when he encountered the Left Theatre, it became a natural home for him. And Jerry Dawson himself said, that what Garrett brought to the theatre was almost like the smell, the sounds of New York, into it when they put on plays of Eugene O'Neill, like The Hairy Ape and stuff like that. Obviously, the Merseyside Left Theatre, which precursors to the Unity, it didn't have a building. This was agitprop theatre. This was out on the streets. I think one of the first play performances was at a Communist Party meeting in 1936. They did two plays, Spain and Guernica, addressing the issues of the day. And for Garrett, it combined two things. One is writing, and he contributed a huge amount of writing and theatre, both of plays he wrote himself and plays that he contributed to, but also the acting and the activism. I think he absolutely loved doing that. And there's pictures of him acting in the Unity at different stages. And so I think that was what brought him to it. And I think the Jerry Dawson and the people who were around the theatre at the time, for them, I think it brought a real powerful working class voice into the theatre, who had huge experience and had a drive and ambition. And I think that coming together, not just of George, plenty of other members as well, I think that coming together really gave it a spare. And this was at a moment of real crisis in the late 30s, that was happening, and of, major events around the Spanish Civil War, and obviously the build-up to the Second World War. So, I think that what they did and what they achieved at that point is, was really quite unbelievable when you look into the amount of work that they did, the amount of plays that they did, and also the breadth of the plays that they then began to take on as well.
Yeah, I'd like to say just a short word on my own personal contacts with George, which is what I called him, believe it or not. He was his sons and his grandkids called him George. It was that sort of no power structure there at all. I remember him as an absolutely top granddad, not your normal weather-sucking granddad, like muscular and physical and piggybacks and big long walks along the dock road. spoiled me rotten as well. And that is my memory of him, right? So, because I lived in, under the same roof as him for a few years. And it's a lovely memory. It's an absolutely beautiful memory of him. Once I was of an age to take an interest in such things, sort of, I'd say 11 or 12, yes, the family told me about his writing, about his involvement with the theatre, about his travels and adventures to America and South America, because it was quite a colourful life, you could say, before he settled down to all this. Yet I wanted to know about my granddad running away to sea at 16, and I wanted to know about him living with, in theatrical gigs in New York, with what came to be quite well-known character actors in the Hollywood years. Yet it was bloody interesting, quite thrilling, really. And then there's the work as well, the activism, the writing, the involvement with the Left Theatre, Stroke Unity Theatre, which went on with little gaps, I think, from its inception until the late 50s. I think there was many social and economic problems in the UK and in Liverpool at the time. But right at the beginning, I think the main impetus was Spain and the march of fascism, which you will see in their early productions. They're nearly all about Spain, Guernica, things like that. I think that was the real, you know, the fight against fascism, really. What was the quote they had about the bombing of Madrid, the bombing of Madrid, Madrid today, Merseyside tomorrow. They could see what was coming down the track, I think, you know, that Spain was just the beginning.
I think one thing as well is that quite often, and I think more so today, a lot of activism, if you like, is separated from culture. What George came across, in America, as I said, was the International Works of the World, and this way of combining the two and understanding how storytelling can connect with people, and also how they could do a direct engagement with people that would cut across the propaganda in the newspapers. I mean, the first printed work that we have of his is a song for a demonstration in the 1920s with the unemployed marches. And that is the beginnings of a seed, if you like, that lands at the Unity Theatre. Because he then goes to America. Now, the thing about America and why it's so important is that Garrett loved Eugene O'Neill. Now, this is a guy who was left school at 14, ran away to sea. He worked in the hardest conditions on the ships. The Mauritania held the Blue Ribbon for 20 years. It was the fastest ship. And the people who made that the fastest was the people who stoked the coal in the bowels of the ship. It was a brutal job, and Garrett did that. And at the same time, he was reading Ibsen, Shakespeare, everything. He was incredibly intelligent, incredibly literate and creative, but he was from an absolute working class background. He went to America for 1 year in the early 20s. He then lived there for 3 years, and he has two plays registered in the Washington Library of Congress, Flowers and Candles, Tombstones and Grass. And we know that these were rehearsed. We have working copies of them that went into theatres. No evidence that they were ever performed, unfortunately. But the key is he was writing in the new style, social realism of Eugene O'Neill. And his themes in there are incredible. Garrett. With the Left Theatre, is that there was always, in many ways, an incredibly modern outlook, but one that was prepared to push through any barriers in order to make sure that they could express themselves and take the work to the people they wanted to talk to. They wanted to talk to working class audiences. And the one time when they went to a festival in Chester, this was the precursor to the Unity, this Merseyside Left Theatre Group, and they performed Waiting for Lefty. And the mayor and all the grandees were at this festival, and they just brought the curtain down on them because they said it was blasphemy, and they got prosecuted for it as well. So, you know, they were also prepared to put themselves out there at the same time. And you can tell from George's writings and his engagements and that how much he enjoyed that. And also the impact that was having within the movement, and the links to the labour movement as well. And at the same time, they weren't just being pulled along by social issues. They also were bringing in plays from the great playwrights of the day and previous as well, because they didn't have this idea of high and low culture. They wanted to merge it together. And also, which the Unity continues to do to this day, they gave people a chance, people who would struggle to get their plays heard or listened to.
They got prosecuted, they got fined. All the papers are in the archive. Following it through Jerry Dawson, who is sort of right at the beating heart of the early years and for quite a long time of the Left Theatre sub-unity. The Unity pays the fines and it virtually bankrupts them because they are making money, you know. They've got a tidy, it's wiped out. And he is literally writing begging letters to the other Left Theatres, Unity Theatres, of which there's a few around the country. And it's like, dear comrade, you know, could you please? And he's getting back letters going, we want you to come and perform at here. So then they're performing in Stoke, Nottingham, up in Carlisle. You go back to Chester and do it again. And it revives the fortunes of the Unity Theatre because there's a network there. You know, it was on the front page of the dailies because the Archbishop of Chester was there. It got debated in Parliament. It was quite a story. It really was. But saved the day. He was radicalised at a very young age. During the 1911 transport strike, which was huge, two dock workers were killed by the army. There was massive demonstrations, there was violence. There was a huge demonstration on St. George's Plateau and the police charged and George got battened and on his 15th birthday. And I think that is the one incident that sort of made him go, that's the direction my life is taking. About a year after.
Year or so after that, and he stowed away on a ship. And he was discovered too far out for the ship to come back. And so the captain basically said, okay, you're working as a stoker. And he writes that, you know, in the night, his hands were so sore, he secretly cried. You know, I mean, this is brutal conditions. And, you know, these are, you know, quite unique times in the way that this all comes together. So I don't know whether there's, you know, I'm sure in everyone's life there is one light bulb moment, but with Garrett, there's, like a lot of people, I suppose, again, there's flashes throughout in terms of always striving to be creative. And I would say with the Left Theatre is finally finding a home with like-minded people where all of his experience really came to tell, not just in terms of his writing, and Jerry Dawson references this, just how much of an influence he was and what he taught them about socialism, what he taught them about activism, what he taught them about the world, then fed through into the theatre. And that's why I feel that, you know, Jerry Dawson writes a eulogy of Garrett, which is just unbelievable. You know, I mean, his praise for Garrett just demonstrates that, you know, Jerry himself understood how important this was and what a unique figure Garrett was and what he achieved and then achieved collectively as well. In 1921, there's a big demonstration of seamen called the Vigilance Committee. And this is a body that is protesting about their conditions, about unemployment, but also about the conditions on the ships and etc. The Seamen's Union was very right-wing and you know, very autocratic. So there was lots of discontent. Mass demonstration in Liverpool in town. And we have the transcripts of this because an undercover policeman basically transcribed what was said. Two people on the platform were openly racist, a thing being reflected today. White jobs for white workers. And we're very open about that. There was one other guy and George who were anti-racist. George makes a speech which stands for the ages. And he says, you know, you talk about Britishers. He used the word Britisher. And he says, I'm not proud to be a Britisher.
I didn't find out about the anti-racist speech until about 10 years ago, possibly a bit longer. And I just shared it with my immediate family further afield. I thought my heart was going to burst out of my chest with pride. So standing up and making that speech then, it's just an unbelievably brave thing to do. But he done it. And yeah, it stands, the wording of it stands to this day. I mean, it's so bloody current. It's quite awful, actually, but a lot of talk about aliens and people taking our jobs. He'd stand up on the dock road, pierhead, wherever a crowd would gather. He'd speak and they'd listen. The idea of singing is a big part of the early years of the Left Theatre and the Unity. They have their own choir. They have sing songs. They have, like, sort of, a lot of the shows, particularly during the Second World War, are like, it's really the wrong word to use, a variety show. But in the, it's varied, you know, there will be sketches. The one that springs to mind to me, first and foremost, is 100 Years Hard. Because we're pretty sure he had a major part in writing that. I think the importance of the play, and you will discover this as you go through the archives, which I found, was that 100 Years Hard had its own quite substantial programme like you've never really seen. With other productions, and I mean, it was almost as thick as that, you know, with illustrations talking about the different incidents that had were portrayed in the play. As we say, George played himself as a younger man, leading the 1921 Hunger March. Bessie Braddock, who was the local MP at the time, and a celebrity MP as well.
I think if George was alive today, I think he would be writing on maybe various platforms. He'd certainly be looking to write for TV maybe and stuff like that as well. But I think his instinct would be, rather than the idea of putting something on and waiting for people to come, I think George would be about the idea, let's put something on and go to people. Let's go again to street corners. Let's go to local halls. It could even be churches, wherever.
So I think he'd be having some piquant observations of Mr. Trump and his Looney Tune entourage. He'd be writing about the working class in Britain. In some cases, people say there's no absolute poverty in Britain anymore, as there was. Absolutely, in George's time, there is. He'd have more to write about today than he did back in the day, and he had plenty of subjects then.